listening to WAMFLP New Orleans, the voice of the people, on 90.3 FM and streaming on the web at WAMF.org. This is the A Community Voice Show. A Community Voice is a grassroots community group that fights for justice for low to moderate income families. Give us a call at 504-941-2852 or visit us on the web at acommunityvoice.org for more information.
Hello, how's everybody doing? We're calling today from A Community Voice, and what we're talking about is the United Flooding States of America, since places are flooding everywhere that never did flood before. This is Beth Butler, and our guests today are A Community Voice community leaders. Let's hear today from you. Introduce yourself, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwendolyn Adams.
Good afternoon, and I'm Linda McPhail.
What we've been talking about today is flooding. What do you know about flooding, Gwen?
I know that with flooding, I live in the Lower Ninth Ward, and with flooding in the Lower Ninth Ward, we didn't have flooding until the Corps of Engineers broke the levees. But now, because of the way that people have been dealing with sewage and water board issues and have not been addressing sewage and water board issues, people are flooding all over the city where it never flooded before.
Have you seen flooding too, Ms. McPhail?
Yes, I have seen a lot of flooding, and my experience was with Katrina. I took and left. When I took and left, I went to Baton Rouge, and I seen all of that flooding on TV. And then they showed the Lower Ninth Ward. Of course, that's where I'm at, and I couldn't believe it. I'd seen everybody on top of their rooftops. And that was a scary situation because we took and left and thought we was coming home in 2 days. So that was a bad experience to know that your home is not there no more, and your home is down the street. That's where mine was at when I came back to see it. Well, I can say so much, but I'm going to shut up right now.
Well, Ms. McPhail, the thing about it is my family and I left supposedly for 2 days. And wound up having to evacuate for Katrina.
Okay, them 2 days, I'm saying, when we took and left, they told everybody to evacuate. When we evacuated, we went to Baton Rouge. So we didn't take too much with us. Only thing we had was a few clothes. So the clothes that we had was for 2 days. And we thought we was going back home. So what took and happened after them 2 days, if we had money, we had a lot, because we found out there was no more home. Home was right where we was at. So just like I said, that is a bad experience because you don't know what's happening. You got to get prepared. You got to know what's going on. You got to know where you're going. And when they tell us to evacuate, we got to have money. So everybody don't have that money. And it's hard for people to help you when you're in a situation with no clothes, no food, and it's like you're begging, and I know we better than this, because just like I said, we already had these items, and you know, it's this hard to see that when it flood like that, everything's gone. Everything's gone.
That's a heartbreaking story, isn't it? And what are y'all doing today with the United Flooded States of America at A Community Voice?
What we're doing today is trying to brainstorm to see how we as a community group can work with a national group in order to discuss those things that would be positive and that would impact us in a positive manner, because we are apt to flooding during hurricane season, but not just because of hurricane season, because there might be other disasters that may impact us. And because we're brainstorming with other groups, we may find some things that may save a life.
That's very interesting. What about that? What kind of ideas would help save a life?
Ms. McPhail, would you like to discuss?
Helping one another, whoever needs that help, saving a life, getting prepared. Don't stay home, please don't. When they ask you to evacuate, please take the time out to go I know you don't have anything to go or where to go, but you got to understand to keep yourself aware. You got to stay prepared.
One of the things Ms. Macfield said earlier was that she didn't have any money. We didn't have any either. I had a bank account. My husband had a bank account with a bank that where we evacuated to was Mississippi. And Mississippi didn't have a Chase Bank. So the few little dollars that we did have were in Chase Bank, but we were not able to access them because they did not have a Chase Bank there. So what you need to do is prepare yourselves with not only a go bag with clothing and food, but make sure you have a few extra dollars placed on the side so that you can access them before you evacuate to somewhere where you're not going to be able to get them.
Yeah, that is true. And you know, when these things happen, they goes up on your water, they goes up on your...
Interjector?
Yes. No, they goes up on... When you evacuate, you got to have money, so they goes up on the water and
the food.
Ice.
And the food.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I'm trying to get out is wherever you live in the hotels.
Yeah.
All of these things go up. That's what I'm really trying to say. So the money is a problem when you're staying in a hotel, because it happened to us. And we was paying for it, and it came to a point where they wanted more money. Wow, we didn't have that, so what we going to do? And this is where the government took and started sending money out there for us to stay in these hotels.
Well, we were blessed. We went to stay with family in Mississippi so that we didn't have to worry about trying to raise funds to pay for where we were staying. But it was a blessing.
Yeah. You had someone, a lot of people out there don't have, when they say evacuate, there's nowhere to go.
Nowhere to
and
go.
Sometimes you end up, in schools, hotels, and just like I say, you know, money is always an option. Always.
What do you think citizens should do in terms of finding people who refuse to go or who need help, extra help in evacuating?
You got to make them understand that staying is not the situation you want to do. Number one, you don't have water. You don't have, the hygiene is very bad, you know, so. The best thing is you want to stay. You don't have no lights and you don't have water. At least where you is going, you might have that. So please don't stay.
I agree. We need to impress upon persons that think that they want to stay that it's not the ideal situation, because even if they place you in an evacuated area like the Superdome, you're placed in with a lot of other persons and you don't know them and you don't feel comfortable, and everybody's trying to maximize whatever they can get or whatever they can do. But what you need to do is make plans before you get into that type of situation. And like Ms. Linda said, please don't stay.
What about the emergency? What about the kinds of papers people need to have, and what would you do with your insurance and so on?
You need to have your paperwork together already. That's not something that you need to start doing. You need to have your social security cards, a copy of your driver's license, and make sure you have copies of all of this. We all have cell phones and iPads and what have you. Keep your copies, your marriage licenses, your insurance paperwork, all of those types of things. Have them in a bag, a Ziploc baggie, so that they can be, you can grab them as you go.
And just like Ms. Beth said, you got your cell phone, take pictures of it too.
What about the people who refuse to go?
All I can say is we need to pray for them. If they're not going to go,
that's right,
all we can do is pray for them. If there's someone that's in that particular area that know that you have someone, because most of the time it's elderly people, let's face facts.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that there's an elderly person or an elderly family in that community that is not going to want to evacuate, you might want to think about trying to impress upon them, well, maybe you don't want to go with anybody else. Come with me.
And remember, always tell them it's not safe. It's not what you want to do.
Okay, and what about notification of local authorities if somebody does stay?
You got to let them know it's not safe, and you might have to write their names down and try to pass it on to the police or someone to let them know they're still back there.
So the first responders get a list?
Yes. There has to be a checks and balances system whereby, as the first responders know who is located in the community, mm-hmm. they need to be able to respond by saying, well, this person is gone, this person is gone, but this person has not yet left their home.
That's right.
Are there any other entities you would contact in the community about getting the word out like that?
My first response would always be the churches.
What would you do?
I would definitely, because our church has a listing of the persons that are a member of our church. And it may not work for those mega churches like Franklin Avenue, but in Lower Ninth Ward, we have a group of smaller churches. And I'm sure that those churches have a listing of their membership. Let someone be responsible for making sure that the members have been addressed and they have been evacuated.
So you're calling on local institutions to take part in the evacuation plan?
Correct. Even if we have to go to the schools, we have one school down there and a lot of kids that are there. If the school has a listing, they should have it on computer. The school may be responsible, or someone may be responsible for contacting the school to get the names of those persons that are in the area so that they can try and contact these people to make sure that these people are safe.
And you're saying to do this not just for flooding, but other disasters?
Anytime there is a disaster.
What kind of disaster?
Not only for floods, but there might be fires because we have so many lots that are overgrown in Lower Ninth Ward, and because we can have a fire that may affect a complete neighborhood, you need to have some way of contacting people to make sure that they're safe.
What about the toxins on the river?
The toxins on the river, I watched the news right before we did this, and I saw that a lady had gotten in the river and some type of amoeba or something had eaten into her skin and she died from it. So we have to be careful of all of those things. With the holidays coming, a lot of people are going to the beaches. Be careful.
My goodness, that is a frightening scenario.
It is frightening.
Uh-huh. And the toxins along the river and the industrial canal, has there ever been a fire like or a spill or anything?
Not that I can recall at this time.
Just the regular ones.
Regular ones.
The Coast Guard has
caused.
What do you think about the levee situation?
Hey, you're doing great. Go ahead.
The levee situation has to be, we have to be sure that the levees are going to be dealt with positively, because what they're doing is a cover-up and everybody's thinking, well, that the levees are safe, but are they really?
Is it adequate that they're built for a Category 3 hurricane?
No, it isn't, because we've been having Category 4s and 5s more recently.
So they got to take and build a line.
Do you think that the Army Corps of Engineers is going to build any higher?
If they give them the money, they could, but if they don't give them the money, they won't.
I don't have any faith in the Army Corps of Engineers, I'm sorry.
And that's because?
That's because they were the cause of Lower Ninth Ward flooding the way it did. Mm. Because had they not dammed the levees, they would not have flooded. My house didn't move. My house was there. The house came across a fence across my yard and it stopped when it bumped into my house.
My home was down the street.
So what happened to your house, Glenn? It was sitting there straight, no problems. What happened to it?
It flooded. It flooded, and because we had never evacuated, we didn't know how to prepare to leave. And I was like, Miss Linda, we only had a couple of items of clothing that we took with us. And everything else flooded.
And where is that house today?
The house that was pre-Katrina, they had to demolish it.
Did they have to?
They had to. They had to, because the water sat there and sat in the home for so long.
Okay, and what's there now?
My new home. I have another home in the exact same area.
Well, good for you. That's excellent. So is there a problem from flooding from besides the levees that are not high enough?
Right now, when it rains and it floods in a lot of other areas and they're telling people they have permission to park on neutral grounds, my street doesn't flood. We don't get any flooding there.
Why is it flooding in the other areas?
I don't know right now.
Is it clogged up drains and pumps that don't work?
That's always possible. Mm-hmm. And we know that Sewage and Water Board is claiming that they don't have the adequate manpower or what have you in order to address these situations.
Do you think that the mayor is going to change that, the new mayor?
I think that the new mayor has to show what she's going to do and stop talking about it.
That's right.
And how do you feel about a tax on the people on this next ballot in October or November that actually would pay for the drains but force elderly, poor, disabled, and low-income homeowners to pay the same amount as the rich, and the nonprofits and churches would be taxed for the first time?
I think that's unbelievable. Why are you going to put more stress on persons that already don't have enough resources rather than asking persons with excess resources to try and alleviate some of the stress and strain on those persons that you know, the elderly, the poor, the nonprofits, the churches?
Are there still people you know who don't live here and don't live in New Orleans anymore and can't come back or want to come back?
Yes. There are persons that lived in my neighborhood that refused to come back because the cost of living was too high. Mm-hmm. They've moved to other places where they can afford to live, and they get community resources, and they receive those things that are necessary in order for elderly, poor people to live.
What do you think about these groups that have been comprised of people? What do you think about them coming together and forming the United Flooded States of America?
I think it's wonderful. I think it's a wonderful idea. Where there's unity, there's strength.
How about you, Ms. McPhill?
I agree with Ms. Gwynn. 100%.
That's how to make change.
Yes.
That's great. And is that something you think that other institutions would support?
I'm sure they would.
Like who?
Once we get to see how this works with us, hopefully, City Hall, our local representation would be willing to work with us, including our mayor.
That would be awesome. Everybody on the same page about the flooding.
Yes.
What happened up there on Orleans Avenue, which never flooded before, apparently, and they flooded last year?
I would think that the drains clogged, or the pumps were not working as they were supposed to. And some people lost their cars. Mm-hmm. Some people had damage to their homes. And as we said earlier, these things never happened before, so they were not prepared.
How many ways can you flood in New Orleans?
In New Orleans, there are numerous ways you can flood. You can flood from excess rain, you can flood from hurricanes, you can flood from sewer backing up into your homes.
Wow.
Yes, there are many ways you can flood.
We don't want to flood like that.
We don't want to flood period.
What do you think about the river?
The river overflowing is always a threat.
What about them changing the industrial canal lock from near the river to way far away from the river?
They want to widen the industrial canal, which would unfortunately displace many persons that are down in the lower Ninth Ward. And instead of looking for other avenues whereby they could utilize the space, they're just looking to, once again, put the stress and strain on those persons that have already endured so much.
Did the Corps of Engineers ever admit responsibility?
Please don't ask that question.
Okay.
Because they never, ever owned up to what they've done.
So does that compromise their trust, that you're trusting them?
You didn't hear me say earlier that I have no trust in the Corps of Engineers at all.
What about the people in St. Bernard Parish? How do they feel?
The people in St. Bernard Parish, they have persons that are in political areas that are responsible. If you look at the difference between the St. Bernard community and the Lower Ninth Ward community, you'd say, how is it in the same city?
And that's because it's all redeveloped and
yes.
covered up. I mean, their blighted lots are cut.
Yes.
And how do you think they go about that?
They go about that because they invest in their people.
Yes.
What do you think about the blighted lots and the rain gardens?
We can, if we would use the rain gardens, we could use the bioswales in order to possibly clean up some of the water that's going in, that's backing up into the area that's causing issues with the flooding. Let's look at trying to deal with all avenues that would be best for the community.
And you think that way we might be protected like the Dutch?
I don't know what the Dutch did, but there's a possibility that we could be protected.
And that's a multifaceted agenda, it sounds like.
It would be, because we would be able to rebuild as well as keeping the water clean, which would make it easier for people to return to their area if such a thing happened again. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that people don't like the blight in their old community, but they might like it if it looked like a rain garden.
Yes.
And you think they would come home?
I think more people would be willing to come home. I do.
What about the affordable housing situation?
What's that?
Yeah, what's that?
Do you have, are there any plans for affordable housing?
Not to my knowledge.
And why is that?
Here again, because New Orleans is not invested in Lower Ninth Ward. They're not invested in the communities. They're not invested in the people. They're invested in the French Quarters mm-hmm. and those places that are bringing them funds. Mm-hmm. They want people to think that everything is okay mm-hmm. because that's where they get their money. And instead of investing in the community once they have these funds, they're allowing the funding to go other ways.
And it's like taking them to build homes so they can come home, you know. There's no places for them to even stay. And the places they do have, the rent is too high for them to even pay
exactly.
for. So they need to start building homes so they can come home.
Okay, so they're paying rent where they live and they have to come back here and they can't.
They can't afford it. Mm-hmm. They can't afford it. Let's face facts.
Okay, well, those are a number of issues that are facing the city of New Orleans. What is this about Sewer and Water Board and they have lead in the water?
Lead has been in the water for many, many years. It's just been brought to fruition on a recent basis. And they supposedly have cleaned the lead out of the situation. Notice I used the term supposedly. Mm-hmm.
So Sewer and Water Board's fronting that they actually did something, but they have all this money. What would it take to get them to get the lead pipes out of the ground?
Well, they'd have to do a massive digging in order to get the lead pipes out of the ground. They'd have to be willing to put time, effort, energy, and money into this.
What's it going to take to get them to do that?
Beth, unfortunately, I can't say. I'm not sure they'll ever do it.
We'll have to have a big, long, organized fight, huh?
Oh, definitely.
And so, what are some of the other issues? I understand Bonner Park and Swimming Pool is still not... It was open for a while. I know your Acorn chapter got it open after Katrina and people swam there. And yet this summer, the pool is closed. What happened?
I can't tell you because I truly don't know right now. We're working on doing another thing for the Florida Avenue park that we're planning to build and walking trail, but there's just no investment in our community.
And so the city has a functioning pool that they won't open for the kids, and the kids can't go swimming until 1 o'clock in the afternoon after the seniors have vacated the other pool.
Yeah.
How does that help the kids?
It doesn't.
What do they have to do every day till 1 o'clock?
Get into mischief.
And what about, is the pool overcrowded in the afternoons when they're over at the other park?
I haven't been there, but I'm sure it is. Because swimming is one of the things that children enjoy doing during the summer.
I knew that they were given lessons, but I couldn't really understand how the kids were going to take the lessons if it was already overcrowded and they were throwing kids out for not wearing regulation swimsuits.
I don't know anything about that.
Reminds me of the burkini fight in France. What's it all about? Some kind of harassment of a certain demographic. Okay, well, there are a lot of issues out there. When does your regular group meet?
We meet on the second Friday of the month.
Whereabouts?
At Trinity Church on, what is that, not Lizardi,
mm-hmm.
and Claver.
Okay, what time of day is that?
6 o'clock p.m.
Great. And are you open to any new ideas if the public has them to come?
We're always open to new ideas, and we always welcome the public. And it's a lower Ninth Ward area, but we welcome anyone. Anyone that has something positive to share with us, we welcome you.
That sounds great. And this is from a Utno retired teacher who's still in the fight, and Linda McPhail, community organizer for A Community Voice, a member of A Community Voice from the Lower Ninth Ward. How do you feel about organizing?
I think I love doing it, helping other people, and I love to see things come together in our community. That's where we stay, so why? We should try to, you know, make it look like something.
There you go. And Ms. Adams, how do you feel about organizing in the Lower Ninth Ward and across the city?
I feel that when we get together and we organize, we give ourselves a voice. I know that when I returned to the city, it was Acorn that encouraged me to rebuild my home where I am. And it was because of their organizing skills that I became involved and stayed involved.
And became actually very good friends with a lot of members, huh?
Yes.
People don't expect you get the side benefits like that, but it is part of the amazing story.
It is.
Well, this has been very special today. Thank you all for coming out and being a part of the United Flooded States of America fight that A Community Voice is putting on. And we're going to have you back again real soon. Thanks.
Thank you.